Father, we thank you for coming together here today, bringing us all here and for the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. We ask that you will give us the grace to relate to you, the touch of the Spirit, so that whatever goes on here will be of value and purpose. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'm working on the parenting book right now. What do you say in a parenting book? There are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of parenting books written. What do you say that's really gutty? Really gutty. There are a number of things that I've been thinking about, but one important point is this, vital point. But it applies in other areas as well as just children. You've got to distinguish between the flesh and the spirit with children. You've got to understand that obedience is a fleshly thing. It's a flesh thing. Not wrong, just flesh. And the connection with Christ is a spirit thing. And obedience is a sometime thing. If you've ever had any children, you know that. And it's totally circumstantial. That is to say, you get obedient sometimes and sometimes you don't. And you do the best you can with it. Nobody knows how to raise children. I've sat through a lot of classes in USC and other places on child psychology, and I still don't think anybody knows how to raise children. You get this package, a unit, put in your lap or your arms or whatever. You go to the hospital, you get the little unit there, and what are you going to do with it? Someone said once that when they brought the baby, put it in her arms, her husband was standing there, and they were both crying. He was crying because he was happy. She was crying because she didn't know what she was going to do with this thing. And that's the way it is. Who knows? Tell me. Who knows what to do with a child? You can read a dozen books. They all have different opinions. Now, the reason I press that point is that the thing of raising children, per se, and getting obedience and training them right and so forth, is a matter of the flesh. It's the human side of things. The only thing that is significant, or the thing that is most significant, is that the child has the spirit in it. Now, without the spirit, there's no motivation on earth that's really strong enough to bring about obedience on a consistent basis. You can beat the kid to death, or you can give him candy and gum, or, you know, whatever you do, it doesn't matter what you do. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And you just get through it. In the early years of teaching, when I first started in, when I went into the personnel department, they put me to work the next day, I think. And you learn fast some things. One of the things you learn, there's really no motivation that is adequate to make kids consistently obey. Mind you, do what they're supposed to do. there are an infinite number of circumstances that keep you from having a perfect record of handling these kids. So they come to class in the morning, 8 o'clock or whenever, and they've had a fight with mom and dad, and they've couldn't find their clothes, or they couldn't find their shoes, or they didn't have any breakfast, or whatever it is, they don't want to be there. They hate school, they hate the principal, they hate you, and they sometimes hate God. And here's this pack of kids, 30 or 40, that you've got to teach something in the next hour. And so these circumstances are legion. But the thing I was going to say that I learned in substituting, I started out substituting, and you just get through the day. You're not going to teach them a whole lot because they know you don't have any leverage. They know that going in. So you've got to handle them by your wits. Sometimes that's a half-truth. You get through the day. Now you've got kids to raise. As I say, this can be applied to other areas too. It's not just about children. It's a roller coaster. You're all right one day and you're not all right the next day, you know. And one day they're cooperative, the next day they're crabby and out of sorts, and you're out of sorts. And raising children for, let us assume, 18 years, the magic number, is a matter of getting through 18 years. And you try to instill in them the value system that you have. You try to teach that to them. They're not always going to follow it, see? That's an important point. Teaching the system is one thing. Getting them to follow it is something else, because you try everything. You tie them to the bedpost. You hang them by their heels in the closet. And, you know, you do everything you can to get them to obey you. And whatever you did today to get them to obey you is going to be different tomorrow, see? So now what I want to say is, what I want you to get is that that's a flesh proposition. You want to make good kids out of them. You want them to learn your value system. You want to keep them reasonably at peace so they don't kill each other. You know how far to go with that. Of course, mother's been handling the kids all day, and she's been doing what has to be done to get through the day, right? That's what mothers do. They figure their little systems, and they do what they have to do, and they know how far they can let the kids go. And maybe they're scrapping in the next room, and she's not paying too much attention. Now, the father comes home, and he wants obedience. He wants these kids to shape up. So he gets in the middle of this whole milieu, and he starts swinging. You know, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, and so forth. And can't you keep these kids quiet? You know, but see, the mother is cagey, and she knows how far she can go before you have to call the police. She gets through the day, right? Now, she hopes they're going to behave themselves when they're in company and all of this sort of thing. But what is the bottom line here is that they have a heart for Christ. Now, you may think that you have to coordinate those two points. And you hear parents saying over and over again, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do that. I got way off on this subject, gang. I had not intended to talk about it at all, but here we are. And we'll find our way out. As I say, it has application in other situations. But the big thing is that from the beginning they have the Holy Spirit in them. Now you say, how can you talk about that with a little kid? Well, Jesus talked about it. He said, permit the little children to come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. One gospel says kingdom of heaven. Of such is the kingdom of God. What did he mean by that? He meant that a child, before the age of decision making and so forth, is already has the Spirit in him. And Paul says as much in Corinthians. The child is sanctified by a believing parent, even if both of them are not believing. The child is sanctified by a believing parent. And the greatest thing you can have with your child is that down the line, they care about Christ. They get all kinds of mischief. They have all kinds of problems. But they come through. A great moment. I mean, I'm going to speak of this a little personal. We had fairly decent children. They're great people. They're really great people. But they went through their problems. But I remember as a very young girl, very young, there was some incident that we had together with Betty's parents. We were going to meet them, and we ran into them. That is, we connected unusually at a post office out in Redlands. And Carice said, she's 10, maybe, and full of mischief like most kids. And she said, you know who did this? The Lord. Here's a child in an unguarded moment. She brings the Lord up. In a way, I knew at that point I was safe with her. She went on to involve herself in mischief, as usual. Like all kids. But that's the thing. That's the key. I call it the sprig of green. Where a child gets early in life, and from the beginning actually, the Spirit of Christ, so that all along they care about Christ. They don't know him very well, they don't always do everything right, but Christ is part of their life. So if you get that, that's the big thing. And it comes out in these serendipitous ways, in these unusual ways, that you know this child, in the pinch, in the clutch, has Christ in their mind. They have Christ. Now, don't try to associate obedience and Christ. That's a big point. Don't ever say, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Don't ever put their obedience over against their Christianity. Because it isn't right, it isn't true. They can have the Spirit of Christ in them all their lives and get involved in mischief of all kinds. I've been around the block with young people, and they get into mischief of all kinds. But the thing I look for more than anything else is there is that touch with Christ. They may not be theologians. They may not be perfect in obedience. They may not do all that you think they ought to do. But keep that point. Keep that point. Now, how does that fit into this thing? If the Spirit is in a situation, nothing else really matters. especially in terms of the church, the numbers of people there, the circumstances, all of these things. And your very life itself, your daily life. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. The rest is secondary. And you get through your life. We've got this book on the fire. The girls are digging out manuscripts and stuff that I've written. And we've got this one on making it through. And it came out in a sheet or two, but now we've got a lot more of the book, don't we, on making it through. The bottom line here was that the book is dedicated not to those who want to make it through grandly, but those who just want to make it through. You look back over your life, as I've been inclined to do, and you know, you ask, what have I done? What have I accomplished? Has the Lord been happy with my life? And so, remember that the bottom line, the A1 Ichiban numero uno, is that you have Christ in your spirit. You care about Christ. You make it through, otherwise, you earn money and you lose money, you spend money, you don't save much, but you earn money. You do some things well and some things not well. Would you agree to that? You look back over your life, some things you've done well and some things you haven't done too well. In raising your kids, some things you've done well and some things you haven't done well. You've made some mistakes, right? Would you admit that you made some mistakes down the line? Yeah, even Lynn. But what's the point? You get through. And you get through well enough that your young people know about Christ. They may not be spiritual giants. Hopefully not. But they know about Christ, and they have enough there that in the pinch, when the chips are down, they're going to come through. In the sense that they know about Christ, and they care about Christ. And that's what it's all about. But that's why, say, you look back over your life, it's a rough road. And you may have regrets. You may say, I wish I had taken up the legal work so I could have been part of this great trial. No, you're looking, you know, you wish you'd become a truck driver or something like that. And you can't go back and put a neat picture together of your life. The big thing is, that you have the Spirit of Christ with you, and He is doing whatever He wants to do with you. And you think to yourself, well, I haven't always been obedient, or I haven't always done what I thought I ought to do, but remember something clearly, my dear people. Most of the time, we don't really know what it is that Christ wants us to do. I don't think any of you here would, if you had an absolute gold writing on a wall, and you're supposed to do this, and you know it's from the Lord, I don't think anybody here would go against it. Wouldn't go against it. You do the best you can with what you've got to work with, which is not much. When you look at this brain of ours, I marvel that anybody gets anything done. I mean, that's a big scrambled mess up there in your skull. And you got these neurons flashing their signals across your skull, and it's a confusion. How they connect in this interlacing of neurons, How they ever connect with the right ones is a mystery to me. You may know. But so I don't know how we get anything straight. But I think there's an important principle here that we're looking at. And we start with the kid, the baby. And your baby comes, and already it's in the Lord's hands. That's what Jesus said. Of such is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. This little baby, you don't know what to do with it. Understand that right now from the beginning. You don't know what to do with that baby, and neither does anybody else. Really. You know, they can tell you how to powder it and diaper it and whatnot, but how to raise that child so that it is a useful citizen or whatever else you want it to be. It is a mystery. Because your child is different than anybody else's child. It comes already with built-in genes. When they put that little squirming brat in your, a child in your arms, you don't know anything about it. And in a way, neither does anybody else. They don't know what genes the kid comes with. What behavior patterns will emerge for that child. You've got to get to know the child. People don't think about that. To them, a little baby squirming in the bed there is a child, but not a personality. It takes a while before you begin to get the picture that it's got a personality. But it has one from the beginning. It had it in the mother's womb. There were factors of a prenatal nature that have helped to shape the psyche of that little baby. So what are we going to do with it? We're going to pray right from the beginning. And your child's going to have the spirit in it right from the beginning. And that's what you're going to focus on. You're going to do the best you can with the behavior. Keep it from tearing the house up or killing each other. You'll do the best you can. And what works today may not work tomorrow, right? You think you got a handle on things, and just about that time you realize you don't know what you're doing. Discipline is a tough thing. I taught school for quite a few years. I know a little bit about this subject, facing that mob there in the classroom. Someone would do something that was out of order, whatever it was, and I would give a sentence, you know, and say, this is what you're going to have to do. And the kid would say, you probably heard this over and over again, that isn't fair. Ever hear that? Now, what I used to say to them, because I was a little cagier than they, I used to say, I don't know what fair is. If you want fair, stay on the right side of the law. Because what is fair discipline? I don't know. I just do what I have to do. And if parents try to be fair, and the kid thinks they're not fair, no matter what they do. Whatever discipline the parent uses is never fair. And it's tough to match the discipline to the crime. That's a difficult thing. How many days do you lock them in the closet, you know? You don't know what's fair, and I don't know what's fair. You're trying to live together in this little enclave of you and the children, and you're trying to make it through. Well, you bungle along, but remember, and don't ever forget this, that is the flesh side of things. Getting through this life, raising the kids to behave themselves, to not embarrass you in public or whatever. We were at a restaurant yesterday. Two little boys. How old were they? 5 or 6? You think, Betty? 7? Yeah. 5 or 6. And two neighbor boys, apparently, or relative boys. And they were just having a great time, throwing ice cubes and swiping each other's food. You know, a real mess there. And you hope you can raise them so they'll at least not embarrass you in public. Okay, well, your job is to instill, your fundamental job, first of all, to keep Christ before them. And assume, but you can, that Christ is in them because they're members of His kingdom. And work with them on that basis. And don't ever say, Jesus is looking at you. How many of you would like to drive down the highway with a cop following you all the way? And people get the kids in a mood where Jesus is looking over their shoulder all the time. Well, just get along with them in this life and keep that thing in your mind. Don't ever forget it. Not only with your kids, your little ones, but with the older ones. With your family members. Realize and keep before yourself that they have Christ in them, and their behavior patterns on the earth need help, but are not as crucial as the fact that whatever goes on, they have Christ in their heart. And they'll surprise you. They'll come out with it when you least expect it. And if that is true, you've done your job. See? But with one another, I'll broaden it. With one another. The biggest thing is that you share Christ. You don't always behave yourselves with one another, right? Getting along together can be a problem. But it's a matter of this life. But share Christ with each other. Assume this. They have Christ in their hearts, and their behavior factors may need straightening out. That's the big thing that ties you together. I want you to hold on forever to the idea that you're His children, that you mess up in the flesh sometimes. You get in trouble, you have problems, you struggle along with everything, but you go to bed at night and you know you belong to Christ. Whatever's happened today, I'm not saying He approves of everything you do, just saying you're His. You're His child. He loves you. He cares about you. You just hang on to that. So, well, let's pray. Father, we ask You to give us understanding, insight in our life together, in life with each other, life with our children, and with ourselves. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.